Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Another great day for It's the Real.
Holy cow, it was.
We made it through the weekend.
We did. We had Premium Pete. We had Chris Stiles.
It's been a whole lot of podcasts. Today is day number
7.
7 of the 12 days of podcasts.
Yeah.
This whole idea was 12 new podcasts in 12 days to get everybody's attention. How are we doing?
I think people are paying attention.
I think people are paying attention because we got the receipts. People are leaving comments. People are leaving ratings. People are subscribing. Not bad, Jeff.
Yeah, idiots. Way to listen to our podcast.
Here's another thing that people should do. People should go to itsthereal.com and buy tickets for our rap show on February 23rd, 2017 called...
Your Girls Tour.
Your Girls Tour. I'd like to read something that I wrote on Instagram. Is that all right?
I mean, I'm not going to stop you.
Oh, I wasn't asking you. I was asking the audience. Is it okay with everyone else?
They're not going to stop you.
Resounding yes. One night about a decade ago, we put on a live show in Greg Mayo's mom's basement. Remember that, Jeff?
I do.
We invited all of our friends over to see us rap, tell stories, and bring out some special guests like Anthony DiDomenico.
And?
Shinsuke Ikeda.
Yeah.
Bob Blake.
Big names.
You can see the footage of that show in the opening credits of our It's the Real sketch videos. Everyone remembers those. And while our journey since then has been a wild one, I mean, you know, we've interviewed, what, Stevie Wonder?
Vinny from Jersey Shore. Just legends every time.
Some things have not changed. So we still make music with Greg. We still invite all of our friends out. And we still might bring Anthony and Shinsuke and Bob and... Vinny from Jersey Shore out to this show. So today, we are so thrilled, humbled, and honored to have our tickets up for sale for our headlining show at a somewhat bigger venue than Greg's mom's basement, Your Girls Tour, February 23rd, 2017 at SOB's right here in New York City.
The heart of it all.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Who's on the podcast today?
Today we have the Flatbush Zimbies. The Flirtbush Zimbies.
You're so close each time.
Yeah, Flatbush Zombies.
Which ones?
All three of them.
All three right here.
In one room. First time on Earth.
You know what? First of all, shout out to our friend Josh Dick who helps manage them.
Yes.
Because he,
Josh, no name.
He put this into effect.
Yeah.
And we were really upset that Josh didn't make it actually to the recording of this podcast, but he was here in spirit and we talked about him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he lives in Seattle and it's tough
to make that cross-country commute just for us.
I mean, you know.
Look, I don't think we're asking a lot. You know what? He should make it here in February. Anyway, a lot of fun this episode. This is the first time really speaking with them and we talked about a whole range of things, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked. Well, I got to finally get it off my chest that I had seen Juice walking around the Upper West Side with Whole Foods shopping bags.
Because really, when do you see a rapper walking around the Upper West Side?
It was so confusing.
But we got to the heart of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that we can now move on.
All right. Well, when should we get into this episode?
I want people to leave a comment first on iTunes. That's the only thing that gives me happiness these
days.
You
are watching iTunes right now.
All I do is refresh iTunes and just wait for comments.
Good, bad, or indifferent?
They're all good.
How about that?
You know,
maybe is it weird that we do a podcast every day from now on?
that would be weird, and that's not going to happen.
When do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, aka Service with a Smile, aka Still Tipping.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, aka Moving Cane, aka Grandpa Joe.
Yo, what's up, man? It's Zombie Juice in the house. Hey.
Yo, what up? It's Michi Darko, aka Dirt Cobain, aka Daddy Guerrero, aka I'm not your father. I got a lot of names. I've got a lot of time.
Yo, what up, it's Eric from the Platform Zombies, a.k.a. Skinny Light.
Let's get it. Yeah, this is a waste of time and this is the real. Guys, what's happening?
Shit,
man.
Freezing.
No, it's so cold out. I was saying before, like, I left the house after I showered and my hair literally froze when I got outside. I was like, this is so bad. This is just the worst.
But yeah, I'm not feeling Mother Nature right now.
No.
It's called an Arctic blast.
It's called just like...
Sounds like a superhero power.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a Gatorade.
Yeah, that
fucking right.
So we're almost at the end of the year. How would you guys rate your 2016?
Fire. Good. 1 to 10, 7.5 to 8.
Oh, that's like, really good.
You know, above
really
average.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing he said. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful year. We released our first album.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We got to be on TV a few times.
That was dope.
What else we do? We did a lot of shit.
We got our first project on vinyl.
That's awesome. Yeah. Did it take forever for the vinyl to be turned around, or
no? Actually, we handed it in the right time. So.
Oh. Wait, this is the first, it's the first year that me and Juice did not get arrested. I got arrested this year.
Never mind. No.
How did you get arrested?
Weed, as usual. I was in Lower East Side, and these cops were racially profiling my black ass.
He has a Jerry Springer hat on right now.
Yeah, and they found the weed on me, and the guy ended up knowing who I was and my music and all that shit, and actually helped me out.
Well, that's how he knew you had weed.
Yes, he smelled the shit.
He's like, I know you, Juice. How did you not get arrested this year?
I don't even remember if I did or not.
No,
nah,
you did it. You did it. You did it.
I didn't. Then
I remember. I remember the lawyer fees at the end of the year every year. Trust me.
You guys are originally from Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
Shaw.
And so the name is not just, you know, putting on for airs. This is like, you guys really are from Flatbush.
Yes, for sure. Are Flatbush Zombies, like legit.
By the way, one of the funniest things for me is if you see that you guys are abbreviated as FBZ, it is always confusing to me because I think it's like free bands.
Right.
Like
so Future, yeah. Yeah.
That's why one time I said that sometimes and somebody put like the eagle. And I'm like, why doesn't they keep putting the Future Eagle to my shit?
What's that?
Free Bands Gang is the same. Free, I don't know if it's F. Band, I don't know if it's FZ or it's FZZ.
FBZ.
Look, I didn't make the abbreviation for Flapper Zombies.
Their shit is Z too.
Yeah. I know.
Oh no.
So the question is, I guess, when are you guys going to record with Future?
I know.
When Elliot Aviani links us together.
Hey. He just has to come tomorrow to the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all lit. Right. Yeah, I mean, easy enough.
Yeah, yeah. So you're originally from Flatbush. Did you guys all grow up together?
Yes.
So like elementary school?
I knew Eric since I was like 4 or 5 years old. I've known Juice since fourth grade.
Right on.
A fucking long time I've known these guys.
That's a real long time.
Yeah.
And did you all live around each other?
Yeah, me and Meech is on the same block. Juice lived a couple blocks down.
Juice lives in the heart of Flatbush. Well, yeah, I don't really fucking know the heart is, but he lives on the junction where Flatbush and North Shore connects.
Yep.
And I met him in elementary school, and that was my fucking other form of Flatbush stomping grounds. We live by a church in North Shore, now known as Bob Marley Boulevard. Shit done changed.
Well, so what was growing up in Flatbush like at the time?
In the 90s,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of reggae influence, especially because we're Jamaican, you dig?
Yep.
And there was a lot of like block parties and open fire hydrants and people getting arrested, and it just was a different time, man.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
People getting robbed. People
typical
getting...
hood, you know, Brooklyn, Kirkland. Yeah. Typical hood shit. No different from all the shit you've seen in the Spike Lee movie, just a lot more grimier.
Right. It's not the gentrified, like,
organic water.
It's not the, yeah.
Flatbush is not still not gentrified yet.
No, not yet.
They didn't touch over there yet.
Yeah. Right.
They scared.
So you guys, like elementary school, middle school, did you have any visions of getting into music at that time?
I wanted to make music ever since I was a kid, man. But I didn't know. I like so much shit that I didn't know what I would do first, you know?
Right.
And then I wanted to make beats really bad because I was writing and beats would be so trash. And I got to learn how to do them, you know? And I used to lease them and pay for them.
You used to lease the beats?
Yeah, like you go to this website, yeah.
No.
And then that shit was trash, bro. And like, I was just like, why am I doing this? I should take this money and buy equipment to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Did you ever figure out like the only part like that they wouldn't put their drops on?
And, yeah,
like,
and that's the part that you loop. It's like, duh. This is it. Yeah.
What programs were you using?
I started Fruity Loops.
Yep.
And I use Logic and Ableton now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to public school or private school?
Public. Oh my, what is private school?
No, or like I Catholic mean, school, like
nah,
know,
bro. Yeah.
We do ask that like to a bunch of people, and surprisingly, like some people will be like, "Oh, I went to private school," and we're just like,
"Whoa, grandparents
wow.
sold a lot of good coke back then."
Yeah.
My mother could not afford that shit. Nah, we went to public school. I went to school 181 was around the corner from me and Eric. That's what I used to go to. Thank God my mother got me out of there because I'd have been America's Most Wanted if I stayed in that school. And then me and him went to what is it, 119?
Yeah.
Yeah, regular modest public schools.
Well, how far is 119 from you?
119
that's,
was...
That's on Avenue K. And I live on Avenue I.
That's so about 25, 7 blocks, 30, 25 8 blocks. Minutes for a kid on the bus and the train and all that.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
And he was like another, 12, 15 blocks from me. So that's the extra trip for you.
We was the kids that was like, you know, I got somebody in my family, I'm not gonna say no names, but he had his father taking him to school and he was a teenager and shit.
Man, oh, what about
these motherfuckers was going to school at like what about, 4 years old, 5 years old,
alone and shit, right?
The orange Metro card. So the orange is the half fan.
Before they even had the Metro cards, man. Tokens.
One time our homie lied to us and said that he was related to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh yeah, we caught him though. He was like, he used to be like Uncle Rocky. So his father came to school one time. It was like, yo, you really related to The Rock? And his father was like, hell yeah, Uncle Rocky coming tomorrow. And then we was like, all right. And then we sat in class and thought about it. It was like, how the fuck is The Rock his father's uncle and his uncle? And then we realized he's a motherfucking liar. And I remember asking his mother, and she was like, don't let him lie to you. He's a fucking liar. He don't know no fucking Rock.
And speaking of fourth grade, one time on the walk, I almost got hit by a fucking car. Like a car went to the road and like crashed into like the laundromat on Flatbush.
Holy shit.
Did it
die? Damn.
Yeah, it was me and not almost dying because I didn't get hit. Damn, who the fuck was I walking with? I don't even remember right now.
Jesus, apparently.
Shit hopped the curve and all that. It was crazy.
Oh my god.
Right in front of us.
Did you stick around to see like the aftermath? Was the person all right?
I mean, we had to get to school. Like in fourth grade.
Man.
That was funny.
Wait, were you guys like, I don't want to say weird growing up, but were you guys like a little bit left of center of everybody else in your grade?
I still am.
Well, I mean, yes, yeah, now.
I think we were like the kids that were like, people love to use the word weird.
Yeah.
But we were still cool to people. It was never like, it's like those guys in those John Hughes movies back in the days. It's like the weird guy, but he's still a cool guy. He might have the blade in his pocket in class. People don't understand him. He's quiet sometimes. We're that kind of guy.
Did you have a blade in your pocket?
Yeah. Well, I got kicked out of high school.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd they find it?
I was running to be a good kid and take a test. And the blade jumped out of my pocket, landed, and it slid in front of the security guard. And then I said to her, what are we going to do? And then she said, don't worry about it. And I went to class. I was like, wow, I dodged a bullet. And I was in the middle of taking my test. And the dean came and was like, come here. You expelled, blah, blah, blah. Sent me to another school. And I just dropped out.
Really? Yeah. How many different high schools did you go to?
One.
Okay.
They tried to get rid of me, though. Here's a fun fact. Yes. I have a picture on my phone. I'll show you later of my principal. I've told these guys my whole life. He was a rotten piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
And actually, this year, on the cover of the Daily News, they caught him in like some crazy rape scandal, like drug ring. He had kids selling drugs.
Holy shit.
He was doing crazy shit. And I've been telling everybody.
You had a feeling.
No, I knew.
He crazy. He knew.
Because he looked at me the first day he ever seen me. He just looked me in my eyes and was like, there was a time he came to my class and he looked at me. Everyone was in trouble. I was not being bad. He didn't even know my name. He was like, what's that kid? He looked at me and said, him. He picked me out of my class and cut my high school schedule in half. So when I was in the second year of high school, I only had 4 periods. How are you supposed to graduate? He said, I'm trying to help. It was
it's
some
like
crazy
an
shit.
Ellipsis.
Yeah, he was kicking kids out. He was doing crazy. And I just always seen it in him. He was a weirdo. Crooked old Jamaican man. Dr. Wilshire. Google him.
God damn.
Yeah, hopefully he's in jail now.
That's really fucked
getting
up.
Fucked in his ass.
But karma came around.
Wow. And my senior year, a teacher told me, fuck you. Because I didn't want to clap. It was a music class, and it was like you have to clap to the beat, and I just wanted to make beats on the computer.
Yeah.
And like I knew shit about it, so I thought I was nice, and I went to show every boss in my class I was nice. And he's like, yo, so I just want to go around and ask everybody what you think of the class. And I was like, all right. And he came to me, and he was like, yo, so what do you think of the class? And I was like, yo, I'm not really feeling it. And I just be honest. And he, you know what I mean? And then my man to the time was like, yo, yeah, what he said. Right? So he goes back in front of the class. He goes in the closet, grabs his jacket, and put his jacket on. We're like, where's this nigga going? He's like, you know what? You don't want to clap? Yo, fuck you. I was like, oh, shit. Then my mans, I swear to God, y'all put us with everything. He asked me, yo, is he talking to us? And then he said, yes, I'm talking to you. Fuck you.
What?
Swear to God, bro. Yeah.
That's music.
That's mind. It. Like, that's music like, class.
That's yo. Like Twitter in person.
I know. Wait,
shout
guys,
out TJ.
Do you guys have any friends who are teachers right now? Like, who went on and are
that's
teachers
not a
now?
Oh yeah, Jared.
Yeah.
Jared's a teacher. Our friend Jared's a teacher. I always tell him to invite us to his school so I can whip these kids into fucking shape. Scared straight 2016.
But isn't it weird to think about like that, like they are who you guys had as teachers, like and now like hopefully they aren't the ones saying fuck you.
I still want to be a teacher one day.
Of
what
do
you want to teach?
Of what, like a counselor, not really a teacher.
Oh, okay. So yeah, just kidding about
totally
the teaching part. Yeah.
Of what?
What do you want to teach? Life lessons.
Yeah, I like to be a guidance counselor. I think somebody like us as guidance counselors are a lot cooler than like a teacher guy. It'd be cooler if a cool guy, a cool lady was a guidance counselor, because they'll listen to that person a lot more than an asshole.
Like, imagine if a guy, if your guy's counselor was like the Fonz or some shit.
Not right, yeah.
You would be lit right now. Yeah, just,
Your guys' high school careers were cut short and not really...
I finished school.
Oh, you did.
Well, then you're ruining what Eric said.
And then I graduated.
I was cut short.
But, like, do you guys feel, like, satisfied with your high school careers?
Yeah, I did a lot of fun stuff.
Hey, man. Yeah. Once in a while, I see somebody from high school, and then they be mad happy. And just to see that someone else that they went to school with or know was always trying to be themselves and got somewhere. And just to be part of that shit is cool. So I'm fine. I mean, every time I see somebody from high school, they love what the fuck we're doing, and I love the fact they're still fucking alive. So I'm fine.
That's good. Yeah. Well, besides your principal, but yeah.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Yeah. I feel like you guys should all go back to like your high school reunion. Like that would be the greatest stunt of all
time. I'm waiting for it.
Just planning it.
I think they had one and I missed it.
I might arrange that shit myself. That's not too vain.
Arrange it.
When did you guys first start working together musically?
Like 5 years ago, but I would say our whole lives.
More five now.
Let's say 10. It's always just weird because, like, I feel like we've always been musically inclined. Like, we used to make fun of people's music all the time and, like, imitate them. And then once I learned how to make beats, I would try to make a beat like this person.
Oh, man.
And then beat you a freestyle for, like, 3 hours straight, like, every person. Like, oh, this is so and so. This is so and so. You know?
Yeah, that's one of my talents. I just don't show you guys that talent because people are too sensitive in rap.
Every time he does it, we're so engulfed in the moment, we can't take our phones out. And it's so crazy. Yo. Oh, man.
I did one the other day of Jay-Z because I know the Jay-Z cadence down pat. And he actually ended up saying a bar that I said in my freestyle, ironically.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Almost the same. And it was an entendre.
Yes,
so
he did.
Yo.
And we actually have that one on the tape. We have that one on the tape.
So, wait, can you do Young Chris's flow?
Oh.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, shit. Do you do cadence and voice?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I smoke cigarettes now, so my shit is trash now. But, like, I'm going to get back, man. I'm quitting this year.
Cigarettes now?
Yeah.
When did you start?
This year.
You started smoking cigarettes this year?
Yeah, we did a European. Was it this year or last year?
Last year. The European, like.
We did a European tour. Yeah, we did a European tour, and the weed was so bad.
You needed something.
And I was so stressed out. And then I started smoking cigarettes. But I'm quitting because I learned that I can't do things I used to be able to do with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to make fun of Chris Tucker and do the high voices and shit now. I can't do that shit no more, so.
And that's like a core tenet of your personality.
Hell yeah, so, man. I need that.
Yeah.
10 years ago, you guys link up to create music. And like, when did you formally start Flatbush Zombies?
When we did Thug Waffle. That was probably the... that was the first song we put out.
Yeah. But there was no...
With a video.
But there was no other name before that. You guys never like played around.
We always had our shit straight.
Always.
We had a fucking t-shirt. The t-shirts and shit printed out before.
Did it say FBZ?
Nah, I wish.
True.
Were you around other people who were rapping? Like, were there other crews?
It made me want to rap even more because they sucked.
Oh shit. I was around Eric, man. Eric was the person I was around that made music, and that was about it. I used to watch Eric and listen to Eric's music and try to contribute what I could contribute to it. And then eventually we started making just a group naturally formed. I don't think it was really like a plan, like we're gonna put the paper down and plan how we're gonna do shit together. It just happened. Cause he was already laying the foundation for making music. You know, he didn't know what he was doing, but he was doing that.
I remember when Thug Waffle came out, and it felt so stylized, and it was so huge, like, immediately. Were you guys prepared for that at all?
Yo, I remember the day, that was the day you guys were LSD, right? Mm-hmm. The day that we watched the video, it wasn't even done yet.
My birthday.
Yeah, it was Meech's birthday, and when I seen it, I was still working at Guitar Center, you dig? I knew I was going to quit, like, after I seen it, and it wasn't even about, like, is gonna be mad money in this or something like that. I just knew that if this was the potential that I seen, it's something that's just starting, that I need to devote my life to doing that. You know what I mean? Like, there's very few times you see something in life that is that promising, you know, especially when it's your friend. So I separated myself literally and watched it from, like, especially because I wasn't in the video. I looked at it as like, yo, this is the next shit. And if I'm part of it, then that's what I gotta do, you dig? And that was the day.
Did you know it?
Sorry, you were working at Guitar Center at the time. What were you guys doing at the time?
Trapping, soul searching, indulging in psychedelic drugs and trying to find ourselves. Same shit I do to this day. Same.
And you guys were how old?
When Thug Waffle came out, we 21, 22.
Something like that.
Yeah. And still living in Flatbush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just had quit. I think I just quit my job, too, like, a year before that.
What was your job?
Foot Locker.
Foot Locker. How did you quit?
I got fired, actually. It's weird.
Wait, do you still have the referee
outfit? I definitely. My mother still has it. I know my mother's crazy. My mother
said. You need to pull that out. Yeah.
I'm never wearing that shirt again.
Are you kidding
me? Never stepping foot. Actually, I lied. I went to Foot Locker. I'll give you. I got extra ones, too.
No.
I got name tag, too.
Where the fuck? I won't get up to your high school.
If they're not paying us. Look, man. He worked there, too. The first time I worked there, we worked there together. There was a time where me, Eric, my friend Steph, who lived across the street from me, our friend Ben, we grew up with, and my friend Peterson all worked at the same Foot Locker on Flatbush, walking distance from my house.
Facts. All with the jerseys.
Facts. Yep, all with the jersey, the stripes, and everything, man.
How did you get fired?
My friend was a manager, and wait.
Oh, okay.
As a typical Brooklyn guy, we always figure out loopholes in the systems, and we figured out ways to make money off of Foot Locker, and we were killing them. They can't even do what we used to do. I used to put a discount on a sneaker and mark down the price to like $2. Tell the guy, don't worry about it, man. Just give me 70 and just put money in my pocket. Yeah, it was not honest, but you had to do what you had to do.
Sure.
And we got a new manager, and he was such an asshole, such a dickhead. And I ended up missing a meeting. And instead of being a man and calling me, he made my assistant manager, who's my friend, call me and ask me. He was like, yo, man, are you going to come? Because if you don't come to this meeting now, he said you're going to get fired. I don't want to do this to you. And I said, fire me, bro. That's it. So he fires me. But then he twisted it and said I quit, so I couldn't get unemployment. He actually went to the unemployment meeting and looked me in my eyes, a grown man, to stop another fucking grown man from collecting unemployment. So, you know.
That's so fucked.
Yeah, I seen him not too long ago, too.
Can he send something to his crib? Like shit or something?
He's doing bad. Last time I seen him, he was in the train station with, like, baby stroller falling apart. Like, he was sweating and shit. He's doing bad.
Oh, God. And
by the way, cigarette helps that.
You're doing bad.
and Guitar Center, what were you like? What was your position of expertise or whatever?
I was working. I had three jobs at this time, but Guitar Center was the one that I was willing to quit that day. Guitar Center, I worked at the pro audio department. You feel me? I didn't have to wear a name tag, but everybody knew my name because I was like very active on the sales floor. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. It was a whack job, though. I learned a lot of shit, but it was trash. Like,
really?
You would think that being around music all the time, it's like, man, it's a perfect job. And you learn a lot of shit, but then you realize most people like don't know anything about how to make music.
Did you
even
operate?
Though they're really good, like, they know good music, but they don't know how to make it. And that's where the questions were, you know.
Oh. They know how to tune a guitar.
Do I?
No, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how to tune a guitar?
Not by ear. Hell no, nah. Right.
Did you work off commission there?
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to commission.
Yeah.
Me and Eric's first check at Foot Locker was bigger than some checks I got in rap till whatever.
Facts.
What?
My first check, mine was $8,000 off of Foot Locker. Shout out to Foot Locker.
I would wear that jersey all the time.
That was the first and last time I ever got a check like that.
Holy shit.
Because we did stock and we got commission. So I used to be in the stock room, and when I used to go on the sales floor, I would just sell sneakers for fun.
Holy shit. What were the nicest like pair of sneakers that you guys discounted and like then wore around all the time?
You worked there like the whole time Jordans had those packages, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the packages came out. I was the connect in my school. If you needed sneakers, I got them. I had all them shits, man. Jordan 8s, Aqua 8s. It's probably my favorite shit.
Didn't the Countdown package come out too? Once?
We were in, was it Foot Locker?
You sure?
Came out, I think.
Oh. Fuck it.
Yellow ones, right?
Yeah.
I would manage a Foot Locker right now, so holla at me, Foot Locker.
So when it was time to quit Guitar Center, it was that day.
Yeah, it's an interesting story because I was by my ex-girlfriend's house in Jersey, and I was coming back home, but it was like snowing that day, and to get there it was like a 2-hour transit because I took the bus, then I would take the train back to my house. So Guitar Center is on Atlantic Ave. My house is on Beverly. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go back home. And when I called, I was just kind of already feeling like I didn't want to go.
Right.
But the guy that my boss at the time was kind of like so nice that I was like, damn, maybe I might go today. You know, he's like, you know, whatever time you show up today, it's okay. Like, all right. And I got on the train, and then when I got to Atlantic Ave, I was like, yo, fuck that shit, bro. I'm not. Fuck that shit, bro. Like, and they was doing an interview with Vice, and I was like, I'm not going to not do it. It was like our first like interview. I was like, fuck that shit, yo. Yeah. And I didn't go back.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. What was it like getting interviewed by Vice for that first time?
It was intense, man. They came to our fucking trap house. They walked with us all around where we grew up, fucking all around our neighborhood. Like, mm-hmm. that shit was crazy to do that shit. They woke us up at the crib. Like, when they came in, we were still in bed.
Yeah,
like,
and it was very early. It was one of the first interviews, so we wouldn't know what to expect. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect people to come to the hood in the house, dirt and shit on the floor. Like, they're just showing, like, oh, y'all niggas really living this trap shit, huh?
And were those the first white people you'd ever met?
My father's actually white. I'm lying. My father's not white. Those are the first white people I've ever seen in your house.
What did that video do for you guys in the course of the first month or so?
Can you remember what it, I don't even...
It's weird because... I remember looking at comments and like those kind of like feelings in the beginning, just to see what people think and shit like that. And first month, I was more concerned about how my friends and family and everybody else was concerned about. Then, you know, seeing shit get posted on websites that I wasn't even thinking a month ago would even know who the fuck we were. We literally just made a video with our friends. The person who made the video was our friend. We're friends. It was no plan. So it was weird. I don't really remember because I was just taking LSD and living in my fucking world. Really, I wasn't even.
Yeah, I came in.
Yeah, we weren't even thinking this far. We weren't thinking this far. We literally were just in Flatbush, in our bubble, doing our shit.
And the next thing you know, it's on Not Right or No Boys. Or,
I do remember people keep saying, is it 10,000? Is it 20,000? Is it 30,000?
Oh, I do remember.
Yeah.
Used to go from the Undershivers was like, how many views do you think? And I said, how many views you think you're gonna get? And I forgot what the thing was. I remember saying like, did I say 500,000?
Probably.
I said, yeah, I think I said 500,000. He was like, 500,000? Yo, he looked at me like, what? And then he still brings it up to this day. He's like, I still remember when I asked you that number, and your number was way beyond what anybody else was thinking. So it's not like we didn't have the confidence and know we were good. We just didn't really know. I still don't really know what's going on. Yeah. I just released our first album.
They say that Palm Trees has like, I don't know, 20 million something views or some shit.
I don't know.
See,
something
don't like know.
That.
Like,
that could be on SoundCloud. That could not be.
Yeah, SoundCloud is at 27 plus.
Yeah, we don't really think about it like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you figure that? Like, that would be the one that you guys would put out first? Was it just like, were there any other songs you considered that you were like, well, this could be cool, but this just makes sense right now?
I think when the person who made the video, Phil, heard the song, he kind of knew that song was going to be the video.
Yeah, it was more of that kind of shit. And I think also it was like it wasn't intentional that Eric wasn't on it, but Eric also gave us our time to record because he already knew how to make music. He was already rapping at that time. If anything, he was learning how to record other artists by fucking with us. Yeah. And like, so we just made that song. The song was a different tempo. It was a whole, the original Thug Life was a whole different song, and we just made it, just released it, and didn't give it any thought. And shout out to Luke and Phil for believing in that song. Making some great classic visuals.
And what did you know about like mixing and or mastering at the time?
Nothing.
Do you look back now and listen to it and be like, whoa, yep, like who was I? And
yeah, like Skosa looks like a fucking stick of gum, bro. It's like a stack of cards or some shit. It's like when I looked at it, even recently, I just was like, I don't know what the fuck I was going through to make me not even care. Like I could press it so much that it was like, I don't know. But that's the thing about accidents and even not knowing, you know, sometimes that actually helps you.
Sometimes you make good rookie mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
So wait, so when the first like performance I saw you guys do was at Fool's Gold, was that 2011?
Damn.
2012.
Yeah. Labor Day.
Yeah.
Maybe 2012, maybe.
And that you guys were brought out by ASAP, right?
I don't know. We had a set. We had a set there.
You guys had a set?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
is that
yeah,
the
yeah
one that had Danny Brown? Is that the one Danny and...
I think so.
Yeah, French Montana was the
French
out.
Montana. Yeah, that was us. We brought Rocky.
Oh, was that City Winery? Right?
Yeah.
We brought Rocky. Yeah, we brought Rocky out.
Yeah. And so how did you know... When was the first time you guys met Rocky? How'd you link up?
I don't remember the very first time I met Rocky. Because he was with Yams.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember the first time I seen him perform. And it was this weird.
Oh, was that Santos?
No, it was before Santos, bro.
Oh, A-Life?
It wasn't A-Life, bro. It's a show that no one was there. Like, not say it like that, but like it was one of those kind of shits. It was very, very early. Before Purple Swag and shit like that. And
oh, I remember now.
Remember? Yeah, and we were literally just starting music. Yeah, like, they had people doing open mic matching. I remember them coming through literally. Yeah, and that was like one of the last times I seen Yams before he went into grind mode, and they literally blew up. And I remember seeing him perform. Yeah, and then the next time I seen him perform was Santos. Yeah. And then after that, you know, a few other shows.
So wait, did you know Yams at that point?
Yeah.
So how did you guys meet Yams?
I knew Yams when I was like 15 years old as Stevie. He was introduced to me by another person.
Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Fuck it.
Yeah, this kid, his name is Nehemiah. He was, I actually remember ASAP, Always Strive and Prosper, you know, and Yams, what was Yams' name again? It was a funny name. What was it again? Fuck, man. It's drawing a blank. But anyway, he introduced me to him. I think I met him online before I even, like, because it is a time, like, the message boards and Nike Talk and all that shit was really popping. And
he used to be on the Joel Santana message boards, Dipset message boards, hard body,
yeah. OD, yeah. And yeah, man, like
Box Den,
yep. Yeah, and that's the time I met him. It was like being like children, literally.
Was there anything to, because we've had a lot of people on, like Clark Kent, who's from a different generation, but you know, we talked about Harlem versus Brooklyn stuff. Was there any bit of that with you guys?
No. Never. Mm-hmm. And it never will be. Not with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to battle? Was it a battle? There's no need to battle about nothing.
Right. And I mean, not like real battles, but being like stylistic. Oh, like your shoes are different than mine.
Nah, that shit is stupid to me. Cause,
you wear Tim's cause I was and different. I say dead ass.
I was different. I was different to everybody in my school, and I'd be ignorant to be like them by doing the same shit that I tried to tell them to stop doing, to stop judging people over stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every guy from Harlem is not a money getter, I'm sorry. And every nigga from Brooklyn is not a weirdo. And every nigga from Brooklyn is not whatever your thing in your mind is. You can't think everybody's... First of all, none of these places...
Apparently, everybody from Brooklyn works at Foot Locker. So,
you go by these old shits that is like these old... First of all, none of these neighborhoods are what they were 10 years ago. So that's like saying a nigga from Bed-Stuy is like this. What I see in Bed-Stuy now are white ladies walking fucking Yorkies.
That's so Bed-Stuy, though.
Yeah. Now it's Bed-Stuy. If you told me that 10 years ago, I'd have told you no Yorkie. What is a Yorkie? I'd ask you, what is a Yorkie, first of all?
You mean a pit?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm never stepping foot in Bed-Stuy.
Right.
Nah, so, I love Harlem. Shout out to Harlem, man.
And what did you connect with Eastside Stevie about? Like, what was it?
It was about music, man. Sweet actually, music. It was funny because ASAP 12E, he recently, we just found out, on tour, I played something and he kind of, yo, like both of us kind of looked at each other like, yo, what the fuck? And we both had like a weird, like, yo, why is this familiar to me? And he was like, yo, bro, I had this beat like on a CD, like a mixed CD that I got from Stevie like when I was younger. Like I rapped on this beat before and I'm like, what the fuck? It was the same sample and how I cut it. And ironically, I think the song played and both of us was like, yo, I can't believe that, you know? Crazy. At the time, I used to send him just straight shit from my computer. I had like a MV8000, like a Roland beat machine.
Right.
I saw RZA using it and I was like, yo, I just gotta like buy it. Like actually have it before I even fuck with the MPC. I fucked with that, you know? And I would send Stevie shit and he was always trying to help me get placements even then, you know, working with other artists. You know? So yeah.
There was a time when Juice and this nigga Yams would talk on the phone and he would spit fucking bars for this nigga early in the game. Bars that I probably never even heard.
And he used to send me beats too.
Yep. And he would hear Yams' music. Juice has heard verses from Yams, and not many people have heard that. It's probably about four people on this planet Earth. So yeah. That was our guy, man. That's our guy.
And was there any plan for you guys all to, was it like obviously like everyone in ASAP, it was like, all right, we all rock for each other, but you guys, you know, knowing all of them like that, was there a plan like, all right, we'll all lean on each other too, and if you guys get on, you'll put us on. If we get on, we'll put you guys on.
Nah, no plan.
Nah, it was no real plan. And you got to also look at how it happened. I don't think they knew I don't think Rocky knew. Maybe in the mind he thought I'm be biggest star when they're superstar, but can't exactly predict what's gonna happen. Yeah. So it's like, plus many people probably make those promises.
Mm-hmm.
Many people make those promises. Like that promise is not gonna be legit unless it's with somebody you trust. Because you tell somebody, when I make you there, I'm gonna pull you up. Yeah.
Right.
Once again, a good cigarettes impression.
Sorry, man.
I'm not advocating like you're saying. smoking, but you know.
And how tight was your guys' circle? Was it just the three of you?
Music-wise, yeah.
Musically, yeah.
Musically, it's just us, but it's bigger than us. Flabber Zombies is not just us three.
Right, it's also free bands.
It's also free band gang. I need one of them chains, Future. Cupid Zirconia, I don't care.
Well, and then how soon after you guys put up the first video and you're getting some traction, did people come knocking at your guys' door?
No one came knocking at our door.
I remember.
Besides Vice. Really?
That first year was crazy.
Tons of interviews. Not interviews.
Def Jam.
What's the
Those meetings were not about shit. One time a guy told us at a label, if you want to make money, stay independent. If you want to be famous, sign here. When I heard that, I said, I'm never meeting with these labels again. That was the dumbest thing I ever heard. We met a lot of guys that
telling us our music is too long.
Yeah. Tell us, Matt. One thing that we did meet, one person that we did meet that was an amazing experience and was great was when we met Chris Lighty. And Chris Lighty was really trying to fuck with us, and he loved us.
Wow.
He loved our music, and he gave me the best advice ever. And I'll never forget this shit. He looked us in the eyes. He was like, he heard YBA a long time ago before we released it. He was like, is this out yet? And we're like, no. He said, why the fuck is it not out? And then like, I don't know. We're not ready. He's like, don't hold the hits. You got a song, release it. It should have been out already. So like, you know, those experiences are cool. But we also met a lot of idiots that I didn't even remember.
Yeah.
Do you still run into those idiots?
Yeah. Well, you're with two of them now.
I don't know, man. I don't see those label people. They stopped.
Or maybe our manager stopped telling about
it. They wasn't offering none real shit. It was just the talk. It was just the bullshit.
Did they?
I mean, don't you guys want to be famous?
That was the dumbest shit. That was the dumbest thing ever.
Yo, and the crazy shit is too, because I forgot to say this. The job I was working at Sony Music, you know, as a college marketing rep, and I worked there, and I was also doing
at 550 Madison.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And I was also doing like press kits and like coding for Mexican Summer and Kamado Records. So yeah. I had a bunch of like other looks at like different types of music. And also on a major label, I was able to see kind of how the foundation of that works, you know. And I was still pursuing music, and they knew that. And they were kind of like forcing me to quit, like hint, hint. But I never really, I just wanted to stay to learn as much as I could.
Right.
And I met a lot of artists as a employee there when I was younger.
Well, what artists were they pushing?
At the time when I worked there, it was J. Cole's first album was just coming out, Miguel.
Right.
Beyonce just did the... it was like the DVD tour with like she had like a gold dress on or some shit.
Yeah.
Was that four?
Maybe.
Yeah, four. Yeah. Yep. It was a lot. The year before was MGMT's first album. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was there for the second. Yeah, man. It was like I was there through like right when I would say a lot of new bands were coming out. Passion Pit. Like there was so much shit going on at that particular time, and I was there going to shows.
Did you go to there was a show at Webster.
That was Passion Pit.
Passion Pit and the Clips.
I
know what show you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't go to that one.
Clips bring Kanye out or Cameron?
No, I think it was Kanye.
Yeah. It was an awesome show. Anyway.
Yeah.
But so you were a college rep. Where did they have you, you know, pushing the music?
It was like digital, like online. Yeah. So we have to like hit up like a message board and be like, yo, this person sucks, listen to this person. And then they give us like physical CDs and shit.
That's not a good way to get like many fans on the Joel Santana message board.
Yeah. I mean, they just wanted somebody to click it. Like, they didn't even care if they liked it. They just wanted somebody to click it and get their numbers up, you know. But like they try to devise ways, pick young people's brain, because we know how to tap into people and piss them off enough to click shit,
right?
You know. And then we would get physical CDs and posters to give out to independent businesses, because like big stores are probably got the CD in there. It's like the head shops and like smoke shops, right, hairdressers, like barbershops, those type of places. I had to go in there and kind of like, yo, I work this record label, like you want some free shit? They're like, yeah, like cool, let me give you this, take a photo of you, send it to my boss. And I did that for 2 years.
Gospel album,
yeah, Buddy Guy albums, like Miles Davis vinyl collection set, like,
you know,
I was in there rapping.
You know who Buddy Guy's daughter is, by the way?
No.
Shauna
from
DTP.
What?
Yeah.
Deadass?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy.
What was her big song? Getting
Some Head.
Remember that?
Head.
That's my ringtone back in the day.
Shout out Shauna.
Was it really?
Were you, in fact, getting some head?
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you remember Ring Backs, by the way?
Well, yeah, like I wasn't with that one. I wasn't really with that.
That shit.
Yeah, my cousin still has that shit, yo.
Still, when you call.
What song?
whatever random shit.
It's
like
Michael Jackson.
Is Michael Jackson, you think?
I think it's PYT.
It might be, yeah. Yeah, it might still be.
That was like the that was like the music business, like just reaching for whatever. They're like, we can sneak music into, like, you know, you reaching out to somebody.
I forgot
else.
What interview I was watching, and some artist was talking about they just figured out how to get that ringtone money, like, after all these years. I've been trying to figure out where the fuck it went. I just figured it out. They killed that ringtone shit.
So, speaking of, like, just, like, pushing people's buttons to, like, get them to react one way or another, how do you guys feel about, like, lists? Remember when, like, Complex would put out lists and, like, it would
we just did the best albums of the year for this year.
Well, no, we did on this pod. Yeah. But that wasn't the press buttons. It was just, like, because we actually felt.
Oh, you mean the clickbait list that people just make these lists, like,
just
top,
to get Slaughterhouse
top rappers.
Right?
You're never gonna be on every list.
Scully's on,
right? Exactly,
yeah,
exactly,
people are never gonna always acknowledge you.
I ain't gonna lie, they
know what you do. Fuck a list.
Yeah, we get left out of a lot of lists. Somebody made a list the other day of top producers, top 25 producers under 30. No Eric, mind you, this guy's
stage dive. So,
mind you, this guy's produced every song for us. So regardless of if you like it, work ethic has to be something, because sometimes you see people on these lists and they say he's a hustler and all the shit. So where's our shit? I seen a list of Stage Dive and I'm always gonna bother Double XL. Nobody stage dives better than me. No one. I walk on crowds. I do backflips. I've jumped off of balconies. I've done everything, guys.
For whole tours.
How am I not on lists? How you have a list of best beards and you don't have this guy's best hair? You don't have this guy.
Yo, we went to it.
Best voices. I seen the best voice the other day. My voice was on there. Like,
what?
Come on, I'm not gonna shit.
Who was the best on Best Voice?
I don't know. I didn't want to look. Michael Jackson. On the list. I'm not gonna even look at it. So
somebody send us
Michael,
a best
Michael Jackson.
Best rap voice.
Yeah, we were waiting online to go to Maybach Music for their second album. They did a listening up at Sin City, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're waiting
club.
Waiting outside, and I don't know who it was, but like these journalists were like behind us having a debate. This is 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Having a debate about who had the best beard in hip hop, and I was like, what is
That's
going
weird
on?
Where we
Yo,
living, man.
Stolly was voted very highly.
I mean, it was an MMG thing.
You guys, I mean, we're bath salts, I guess. That would be like the next thing to talk about. Like,
The drug, or the
have you guys done bath salts?
Hell no.
No, sir.
Hell no. I want people in the world to know we don't do those stupid drugs. I do psychedelic drugs. You know, I may do something crazy every now and then, but I don't do bath salts like PCP. Yeah, man. I don't smoke weed like I used to smoke weed. I'm a changed man. Look at the range.
Yeah, cigarettes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Marlboro Reds. Marge's sister.
But doing, by the way, doing backflips off of like balconies, like we saw Lil Uzi Vert like just jump, and he didn't jump off the crowd, like he just got up, and that was like enough for me to be like, I can't watch, I don't want anything bad to happen. Like,
yeah, your Jewish anxiety was just like
last time I saw Jewish anxiety,
it was wild. But like,
I'm using it.
When so how do you guys go from attracting all this love? And, you know, people really like fucking with you for the first time and they know what Flatbush Zombies is now, to actually going on the road and touring outside of the city?
Huh. I don't even know what you just said.
I think I understand. All right. I think I know how to reach. I guess. Well, I mean, that's where Josh Dick comes into play. Cause
shout out to Josh Dick.
That
Josh
Dick. And the agency group at the time was with them. They helped us expand. We did a lot of shows in New York City, and the reason why I feel like we do have one of the best rap shows, period.
I agree.
Everybody, I don't care what your budget is, period, is because we've done so much shows in New York where we had 3 songs out and people don't know shit, and we had to perform. We've been fucking booed in Best Buy Theater. We've done fucking everything. So it was like
booed in Best Buy Theater.
Yes, we opened up
Best
for Slaughter.
Buy sucks.
Yeah. Well, now it's PlayStation
Theater.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
We did a show for Slaughterhouse. We opened up for them,
yeah.
And. Whoa.
He booed us so bad.
Oh, it was crazy.
Wait, was that the Brisk show?
Man.
At Highline?
No.
It was at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah. That was the Best Buy.
It was trash. And I remember Cypher Sounds came out and was like, this is the time when the whole shit on the internet was like, when is New York? What's going on with New York? We need rappers. Yeah. And then he was like, you guys complain about having rappers. These guys are named Flatbush Zombies. They're from Flatbush. And you're not like excited or whatever. And we didn't even like, we weren't even hurt by it. We just performed. We took it on the chin like NWO. We were like villains. I just remember those kind of times. So like we were seasoned, I would like to say. You meet the agency group, and then they start putting us into these other shows and these festivals, like Paid Dues and
Rock the Bells.
And when people get to see us on the same bill as a Nas, you know, somebody says, you know what, let me see what Flabba Zombies is, after they just watch Bone Thugs performing and they see us with our energy on stage, and I think that's really how we got to where we got.
By the way, going back to lists, we had our year-end roundup, and we were talking about best live shows, and we did say you guys had the best live show that we've seen this year.
Well, thank you, man.
You guys were there?
We were there.
We were at Irving. Where was it? No,
it was not Irving Plaza, but it was the same night as the Troy Ave thing at Irving Plaza.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So,
was it Webster?
Yeah, that was Webster.
So we were there with Webster.
No, dope.
We saw...
Not with Webster, we were at Webster.
No, we were with 12E, and we were with...
Addy was there.
Addy, yep. And Brocky Marciano was there.
Nice, yeah, yeah.
And so we were watching you guys.
See, so we were there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just making sure, man.
No, it was awesome. It was really great. But
and nobody got shot, so you know
no one got shot. But that was a crazy night because afterwards, obviously, like you walked up, I went home, but you went to let me stop by the TI show.
Yeah,
because
I thought I would see people I knew, but then I saw everybody running out, and I was like, well, I got to see people I knew, but not in the fashion you wanted to.
Right, yeah. But I mean, and we're jumping forward a bit, but your guys' visuals play such a huge part into everything, and the way you guys are introduced, and the voiceovers, and everything, all the thought that you guys put into this, I'm sure, has come out of years of refining it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've mastered it yet, because when does someone really master it yet? But what you've done is really incredible. Like, and you sold it out. Like, you
were supposed to do Terminal 5, bro, and Terminal 5 shitted on us. Why? I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck if I'm saying I'm not supposed to say their name. I don't know why. If I'm not supposed to say that, but they shitted on us.
No, but between everybody here and listening on the, it's not a great venue.
I know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter though, because we want to shut down every single venue that there is. I like that we did Southpaw. We were the last people to shut that venue down. I want to be able to tell my kids. I remember when this place was here and we shut that shit down, and he told us we're not doing hip hop anymore, and they did two hip hop shows right after because they suck dick.
How about
Josh Dick? By the way, Terminal 5 would be great for crowd surfing.
I know, and they have balconies and shit.
Yeah, shit, no, that's
I've seen
on a zip line from down. You know?
I saw Tyler the Creator jump from the second, and I was just like, oh my god, like that's. I can't.
That's a lot.
You know, it makes me, now I'm not gonna be able to sleep knowing that Tyler came to New York and jumped off a higher place than I did.
Yeah, he did.
That hurts me. Yeah.
So what's the first festival that you guys like really noticed that things are changing?
Coachella.
Where do you guys stay during Coachella, by the way? Do they get a house or something?
We had a tour bus. It's lit.
Oh, we did have a tour bus.
Popcorn player. We had a tour bus, baby. We were just getting off tour. It was part of our run on tour, right?
Yeah.
It was a stop.
It was literally like a stop on our tour. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
We've been to Poop, but we haven't been to Coachella.
We're doing Poop this year.
Oh, that's so dope. That is awesome.
You know, it's an amazing experience.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
I
don't know if we're allowed to say that.
Well, I mean, we can bleep it out.
Yeah, let's get that one.
We're playing it. Poop this season.
Fuck that up.
Coachella was very, that was just very well organized. That's all I could really, like, the security guards remembered our face the second time we went around. And shit like that matters when you're at somewhere for 3 days and you want to take a fucking, what do you call a little fucking shit?
Golf cart. Yeah. They holding us
you
down.
Know, there's mad other celebrities here like P. Diddy right next to me. He's treating me as equal as he is him. I love that festival. It was great. And a lot of people got to.
Wait, did you meet Diddy?
No, I seen Diddy. I don't be talking, when it's certain, like, certain people, I just don't bother, bro. Mm-hmm. Diddy's one of my idols in life. Like, if I probably seen The Rock right now,
I would not say a word.
Wait, The Rock, your friend's uncle?
Yeah. Hey.
Uncle Rocky.
If I seen Uncle Rocky, I probably would say anything. If I seen Diddy, if I seen Kevin Hart, probably would say anything. There's certain people I just be like, I don't know, I just don't. One time we seen Dave Chappelle, remember years ago? This is when the time he was quote unquote crazy because he went to Africa.
Right.
Me and him seen Dave Chappelle, 14th Street Virgin Megastore. And I was like, I'm gonna go say something to him. And I went, PSP just came out. They had a display in there. And I went, he was looking at the PSP, and I was about to say something. I literally was like, and he looked at me, and I just felt the pain in his eyes, bro. Like, I don't wanna be bothered with nobody. And I was like, I can't bother this man.
Was this like jacked up?
No. This is Comedy Central, like, going to Africa, still skinny.
Yeah.
Before he did the Oprah shit to explain everything. Yep. This is when he was missing. This is when, where is Dave Chappelle
you
shit?
You found him.
I definitely found him.
Found him at Virgin Megastore. Yeah.
We started out doing sketches, like SNL type sketches, but like specifically with hip hop, right? And we had one time, we did it for 3.5 years, like every Monday, a new episode. And one time we were like, all right, let's do one, because Cam was like, he had gone missing. You know, his mom, like the truth was, his mom was sick and he was down in Florida taking care of her. But, and this is before we ever met Cam. And we were like, all right, here's what we should do. We should put up missing posters for Cam'ron, right?
Everywhere.
And so we left here at midnight, and by foot, like, had two backpacks filled with flyers and tape and all that, walked around the city and just plastered it in front of, like, every, like, media building, every, like, radio.
Yeah, every, like, you know, telephone pole that we could find, yeah. Like, in New York.
Every, like, record label, like.
Yeah, and so we walk, like, 200 blocks or whatever.
Six hours.
Home, yeah, we come home. It's, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're, like, feeling, like, so good. Yeah. Like, we just did, like, the best thing ever.
This, like, and this before, like, virality, like, mm-hmm. really, like, you know, was a thing.
It was, like, a different internet.
But and then, we didn't even film it. This was just, like, oh, we're doing this, and it's going to be cool. Yeah, and everyone's going to, like...
It's an art project.
Everyone's going to twit-pick this and, like, whatever, right?
And so, at 11 a.m., we wake up, and we're so excited, and we run to, like, one telephone pole, and it's just, like, everything's gone.
What? Yeah,
every single one is gone.
It made zero impact, and it lives on only, like, on its podcast.
For you guys. For the 10 minutes it was up.
But you want to know what? It's just, like, when they put up those orange gates all throughout Central Park...
Yeah.
You know, it's a very moving art experience. That's for those right. that were there.
Yeah, yeah. It was all about the process.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. But the greatest thing is now we know where Cam is, and he's all right, and we're friends with him. So
yeah, shout out Cam, man.
So so Coachella, and you just see, like, the sea of people just going back forever, right? And was that the start of a new sort of, like, era for you guys, where you just, like...
I think how it goes is once you do a festival that big and you continue to do well, you can play big festivals. You just get, you kind of get
it's
the
a
pass.
Concept, yeah,
yeah, it's like, well, if you play Coachella, then you're the shit.
And then you guys were the shit.
And then we were the shit. I think that it's something that we needed, not for our, it validated how we felt about ourselves as a band, but for other people was really what it was about. It was like, damn, if you ever wanted to sleep and say that these guys are not worthy of it, like, here it is.
Not
you know,
just us, our other like fucking fans that make music and our friends that make music, that they're gonna get this offer one day. They see us performing and be like, I can't wait till I get that fucking offer and shit like that. You know, that's how I feel when I watch some other people that started rapping for us. Even when I see somebody like Joey on Mr. Robot, I'm like, yes, that is a fucking victory for all of us. So, yeah. Like, the same thing with Coachella. One of our friends that rap probably seen us do Coachella and was like, I can't wait till we do it. Or if they can do it, I can do it. So,
anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I love you, mama. Peanut.
We like to talk about this a bunch, but who are some of the artists that you guys regularly see on the road? Like if you're in Europe, who do you run into that you're just like, oh, you're at this festival too?
We seen Skepta, that the Beanie Man one, and somewhere in Europe. From, that was fucking random. Crazy.
It was in Croatia. We do a lot of festivals, so sometimes you bump into Portugal The Man, or you bump into fucking
Anderson Paak,
or you bump into Macklemore, or you'll bump into A$AP Rocky. Or Action Bronson, or...
And do you guys, like, all hang out afterwards, or is it just, like, you say what's up and keep it moving at that point?
Just depends.
Depends on the night.
Sometimes you're in the middle of fucking nowhere, and you're gonna hang out, or you say you are, and I go to the hotel, I'm like, fuck that. I wanna do Fuck That's Delicious. I wanna eat fucking steak with this guy right now, but I'm also very tired. Or sometimes just, like, you know how it is.
You wanted to bring up...
Yeah, I have to talk to Juice. I remember years ago, I was walking and I saw you, and this is like, you guys were like just coming up, and I saw you walking around with, like, here on the Upper West Side, and I was like, the least cool area, and I was like, wait, what? And you were holding Whole Foods bags.
I remember that day. I remember that day.
Yeah, because I was following you and just going, I know you. I remember that day. Why would you ever come up to the Upper West Side to go to Whole Foods?
I was living in the Bronx.
You were living in the Bronx?
Yeah. But still, why?
Because then you need fucking good food, bro. And it was the one that I needed to get to at the area over here, like some street, maybe.
Yeah.
I remember that.
We're gonna bleep that out.
Yeah, we're not gonna give up. Our address, yeah. Again, we don't want people hanging out our apartment like giving out mixtapes.
Oh shit. Well, you need organic fruits and vegetables and. ground turkeys and
jump on that express
codfishes.
Train and, yeah. How did you like living in the Bronx?
It was dope.
Are you still there?
Nah.
Did you visit where hip hop started?
Yeah.
We did. You want to hear that story?
Yeah.
So Karen Civil, way back when we were doing sketches, she was like, "Yo, Max B is a huge fan of you guys," and we're like, "Oh,
that's unexpected.
That's a big win for us."
Yeah.
So she's like, "If you guys want to do a sketch video with him, like, now's the time." We're like, "Fuck yeah!" So Jeff thought of an idea. It's like, "All right, we're gonna play Scrabble with Max B, and he is going to use all...
Like, we're
going
to use basically, like, wavy with, like, a million A's, a million V's, and all that. And, like, all, ow.
Yeah,
like,
upside down M's. Yeah. and so the idea was that he was going to get really angry about, you know, that we were playing, like, with street rules, and it really annoyed him.
And so, anyway, we went up to his apartment.
Because he was supposed to come here, and then at the last minute, Karen was just like, guys, he won't come down there. You have to go to his apartment. And we're like, all right, cool. She's like, I'll send a car for you guys. It's on Sedgwick Avenue, like, right next to where hip-hop was born, in a nice, like, apartment building. So we're like, oh, okay, cool. So we go up to Max's place, and they open up the door, and there's no furniture in the place. It's one ottoman and one desk with a Pro Tools rig, right? And then there's Max and the producers of The Business. Do you remember them?
The Business.
And
Ron Artest was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, can you write in Ron Artest?
Oh, and Mr. Fab was there too.
Yeah. And there were about six to eight dudes, like, lined across the wall, just sitting there on the ground and ice grilling us the entire time. Like, not fucking with these two guys who show up with a giant Scrabble board.
Right. and a camera and, like, a script for Max. And so we're doing it.
I also got yelled at for not taking my shoes off.
Right. And for opening the door when someone knocked.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn.
Yeah, no, like, seriously.
Wallet, boy.
No. I was very young. I didn't understand.
Max was, turns out, had no idea who we were. Karen just, like, sold us as, like, you know, something to him. Wow. And he was just like, no, yeah, never heard of you or whatever. And then about halfway through, he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so we had to leave. We left and we're like, yo, it's like a Sunday night. We have our own self-imposed deadline to put this video up. And, you know, we don't want to disappoint, you know, all of our fans throughout, like, you know, the rap blogs, right, who are expecting this Monday morning after we, you know, thought it was going to be the biggest thing ever with Max, who was killing it online. And luckily, our roommate at the time, she had seafoam green sheets.
Yeah, which matched his seafoam green walls.
And so we just, like, we took them from her and tacked it on the wall and rewrote the script and refilmed it. And now, so the first time we met Yams, he was like, yo, the Max B video, it's my favorite thing ever. And we're just like, that one? The one that, like, we hated? Like, that's what
you love? We had the worst time during that video, but... one, shouts to Karen, and two, it is our most successful video ever.
It's crazy. People stop us on the street and they're just like, the Max B video is great. And we're like, why can't you like you know, one of the other ones
that were more pleasant to film?
A block away from where hip hop started.
We thought it was gonna be where hip hop ended that night.
Good things happen.
Yeah, because when you guys go, hip hop is done, right?
That was it.
Speaking of, what is it like hanging out with Macklemore?
He's a great guy, man. He's cool.
I'm gonna say his real name.
I was gonna say his name.
Yeah, it's Ben.
Ooh, Ben?
Yeah, but it's just Ben. I almost refer to him.
We know him as Ben.
It's Ben.
Yeah.
Like when I talk to Josh, Dick is like, yeah, I'll call you back. I have to talk to Ben. Yeah. He's like, all right.
The greatest thing is that Yams and all of ASAP refused to call Josh
by his name.
Yeah. Josh, no last name. Yeah, Josh Pause.
I love it. It's so uncomfortable. I remember one time Josh put it on our calendar, dinner with the dicks, like last month. And me and this guy kept sending it to girls, like, okay, so here's what we're doing this weekend. We're sending it to girls, like, dinner with the dicks, and every girl, like, hold on, what's going on?
Yo, yeah, so the girls see that, then they call you, and your ring back is fucking like getting some head. So, when it came time for you guys, you've been touring, you've been steadily, like, you know, around the country, around the world. When did you know it was time to sit down and start recording your debut album?
I think once Jut Nice playing. we had music that was like older, but then I think the majority of the album was recorded in the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we came back home, I think it was like maybe 3 months or two and a half months we had. Before we had the deadline of releasing it, you know, and it's like, you know how it is with a label or stuff like that. It's like, if you miss that, you miss that whole cycle, and there's other people that need to come out that day too, and you want to compete with them.
Right.
So, yeah, like, we had the foundation for it, but I think we were going to call it something else. I don't want to spoil the name. And then,
no,
it's like, oh, man.
What's it been?
We're going to call something else. And then, I think Meech was like, he must have said a while ago, 3001, at least Odyssey, and it was just like,
nah, that was
better. Yeah, that's better. And literally, that
was the title
was
cool, it was dope, but it was a lot. I don't know how we would have worked that
that title into the theme of the album. We're gonna use that title that we were gonna name the album one day. Though.
Cool. Is it based off a movie?
It's based off of an in sports entertainment.
Okay. Oh, The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne. The Rocky.
So when it did come time to turn in the album, were you guys like satisfied? Did you know how like it would all work with, you know, more people than just you three?
You know what it was? At least for me, I think once we seen the cover, I don't, you know, my biggest thing is like the cover of an album is so important. I mean, like, you can say so much or say so little depending on what you want to do. You know, you got album covers that's just black or just gray or shade. That's really cool too. But I think like the biggest thing for me was I felt confident that the album was fire because the cover made me feel the music. You understand? Like, it wasn't like this was something that came after the music. It looked like it literally was gelled with the music. It's a spit out of what, you know, and not to mention the person that designed it never even heard the album, you know, like, really? He didn't hear it during, he heard ideas, and then that's what it came out to be, which makes it actually crazy. More like, yeah, he got it, you know. David Nakayama from Marvel did the cover, so yeah,
that is really awesome.
David Nakayama, I can never fuck that last name up ever.
You guys sold out this tour.
We sold out, period.
Yeah,
exactly. what's the big like sellout move for you guys?
I think I don't know, because people are so weird that I don't know what people have of us in their mind, what we're supposed to be, some poor underground starving artists. If we take a picture with a certain artist, people get mad, don't do music with them, and then some people like, please do music with them. So I don't know what selling out would be. Some kids might just see us maybe winning a Grammy. Maybe, who knows, getting our song picked for a fucking Sprite commercial. Maybe anything. I don't know, at this point. We probably sold out from the first guys that listened to us when they heard Drugs. Probably said we sold out, we made Better Off Dead.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because I agree.
And there's some guys after 3001 and we do the next album, they're going to say you guys sold out. So, yeah.
I think if you're doing something that you normally wouldn't do for the sake of making money.
But what is no? But here's the thing.
For the sake of making money, that's the only thing.
But niggas don't know us. That's the thing about it. Like, they think they know our music or what we make, and it's like... Yeah. They don't know. So when you have a certain artist that makes it certain, for instance, if he's a gangster rapper and his next album is not gangster rap but the first five were, then maybe he sold out if he starts making pop music. But we don't make what is our genre?
Do whatever the fuck you want.
Thank you.
.com.
Yeah. Yo, you should for your next album you should appeal to iTunes to categorize you as that.
That'd be fire. The genre is do whatever the fuck you want.
Sounds more like a MySpace genre, to be honest.
Do whatever the fuck you want at MySpace.com.
/. Reggae /. Yeah. It's like techno-pop.
I don't miss MySpace at all.
Not at all?
You didn't miss top 8?
No. I went on it the other day. I looked at your page and yours.
Oh, Lord.
Still up.
What? Did they make like top 32?
Your page. Eric's page has nothing on it. My page, I wish I knew my password. I could erase whatever's left.
I'm going to erase it.
Oh, this is bad.
I'm going to erase
it. Yeah.
It's right now.
I'm going to find it.
I'm going to erase it. What, I know my password.
Who was in your top 8?
Rihanna was number 1. Juice, Ellington, Eric.
But what about Tom?
Phil. fuck Tom.
Y'all want to hear a funny true story about my top 8?
Please. Yeah.
So I created a fake profile of Eric Cartman from South Park, and I made him my number 1.
Yes. That was weird. Yo. All
right.
By the way, that's going to be the exclusive that we run with.
That's right. Yeah. Right. So have you guys ever met
and
Rihanna?
And one of my email addresses was Cartman's mom 69 at Gmail. That's all I wanted to say.
You still got Eric Cartman at gmail.com?
Yo, people should send fresh beats to Carmen's mom. Yeah.
All booking inquiries.
That's right, yeah.
Isn't Carmen's mother his father?
Yeah. Yo, that would be really awesome if you did say, like, all booking inquiries, like, and have Eric Cartman 69 at gmail.com.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
That'd be amazing. None of you guys have Yahoo accounts, right?
Hell, I heard about that.
Right? Yeah.
I'm glad I fucking don't have it.
We had a phone call yesterday with someone, and he was just like...
We're
joking around, and we're just like, yo, you know, did you see this Yahoo news?
What happened with Yahoo?
They got billion
a billion people got hacked.
Yeah, they're
I probably have an account from back in the days when I had Bang Bros and I needed Yahoo email or some shit. But I don't think I have a Yahoo. I feel bad for anyone who has Yahoo.
Right. And then this dude was just like silent, and we're like,
my bad.
And he was just like, oh no, I got one. And he's like, I play fantasy sports and I got a Yahoo account.
He was like, thank you for bringing it to my attention. And we were like, oh no, but maybe you're the one account that like nobody pays attention to in a billion accounts.
Sure. Remember that happened to Sony with the PlayStation shit?
Yeah. I remember.
Fuck.
What, man. They went through the
hacking?
Somebody hacked and took everybody's credit information and shit from PlayStation.
They got you guys. They got Chappelle.
Yeah, yeah, my grandfather, not me.
What's that?
My grandfather, not me.
Damn.
Where's the weirdest place you guys have been recognized?
At the porn shop.
West Virginia the fuck is University.
The porn shop.
The sex shop. I don't know.
All right, that's different. The porn shop.
Oh. The porn shop.
I never heard porn shop. What sex shop have you got recognized?
Nah, I don't know.
I think the porn around. The porn shop is bangbros.com.
Com, right? Yeah. There you go.
Wait, West Virginia University.
Nah, I meant would say West Virginia Morgantown, where my brother lives.
Oh.
There's like 7 black people there. So I just assumed that no one ever knows.
Yeah.
I was one of the 7. Yeah.
What is your brother doing down there?
He went to school there.
And
he's running from.
He graduated.
He's running from.
What happened?
He lives down there after college now?
Yeah, he went. My brother's a nurse, so he went to there because of a nursing program.
Yeah, right.
And then his black ass just stayed there. He was like, I'm not coming back.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he come back for holidays?
Yeah. Out there for a little bit. It's just weird because, like, he's still a Brooklyn guy, but, like,
now he has the black.
He's
lung.
The most Brooklyn guy. Yeah, right. Like
he's not walking around anywhere, right? I mean, you really gotta like you gotta drive, right?
Nah, yeah.
He's just walking around West Virginia. Ain't no way no black man walking around West Virginia for 20 years and surviving.
Oh shit! Yeah,
that's crazy.
But
that's a very weird
West Virginia.
Place.
Oh, and someone spotted you and was like,
"Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna air it out because it was funny."
Yeah.
There's a girl that works with my brother. And, you know, when people tell me stories about, oh, like, this person, I saw this person recognize me. You know, my dad told me he wore a Flapper Zombie shirt to the airport, and these kids came up to him and was like, are you Eric's dad?
Whoa.
And he's like, yes, I'm Eric's dad. And then he took the photo. But, like,
that's awesome.
Not that I didn't believe him, but, like, my brother was like, yo, this girl, my brother's way darker than me. He still looks like me, but, like, he's more Dave Chappelle looking than me.
Right.
So, like,
wait, maybe you ran to his brother at
yeah.
Virgin. Yeah, so he said that she was like, yo, are you Eric's brother? And, like, he kind of was like, what? Like, the fuck? And the girl was like, yo, I want, you know, my friend is a big fan. I want an autograph, blah, blah, blah. And I think he got a number from her to give to me. I was like, what? Okay, so then I go down there like a month ago for Thanksgiving. And when I get there, we reminisce about the story. And there's this thing called Townie Night, which is the day before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I'm hanging with them. And he's like, yo, let's go to this young people bar. I'm like, what? All right, so we go there. You know, he's 10 years older than me, so for him, that's like a young person's shit.
Yeah.
So we in there, you know what I mean? And he says, yo, don't turn around. That girl is right. I was like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Yo, lo and behold, this is the girl. And she was like super like excited. And she kept talking about this person that I didn't know if the friend was a real friend or not. You know, and it's like, oh, like, yeah, my friend is a big fan.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, so are you a big fan too or no? Like, but yeah, bro, that was mad weird. And like the whole night, that was the fucking topic of the discussion.
You
like,
guys need to tour down in West Virginia.
No.
It's the truth.
No.
You could be 9, 10, 11.
Oh, no. Shit. No West Virginia.
What up?
Oh, shit.
Post Malone.
It's Post Malone.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
What's good?
What's good, bro?
What's
good, man?
What's happening?
You guys just happen to be on time, which is weird for rappers.
Take credit for being the most on time rappers.
Yeah,
right? For
sure. And then what happened?
This nigga came.
Then you sold out.
You sold out.
Okay, so yeah, so now new album. Are you guys working on it? Are you guys finishing it? Are you guys naming it? What's the...
All the above.
All the above.
Yeah.
Did I say the right thing?
That was the answer.
Yeah. Just
make sure.
That was the answer.
I never know how to answer those questions, man, because then you start telling people you're going to drop this, and then...
Right, yeah, you don't want to be
we
stuck.
Said we was going to drop something called All A Matter Perspective about 2 years ago, and kids still bother me.
Never
really?
Happened.
Yeah, and it's like, nigga, it's dead. I'm sorry. We didn't get to do it, but... That's why I don't want to say no names or nothing like that. But we always working on new music. Instrumentals 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
I can say that for
That's
sure.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Quote that.
Yeah, no, we will.
I was playing.
Yeah. Again, we're going to run with that as the...
Yeah, the exclusive.
As the exclusive. Any other Josh Dick stories we should know about?
If you haven't seen him rap,
oh,
please
no.
type in. Oh,
we saw him
okay.
rap. Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah,
on
what?
Fucking
Josh Dick.
Fucking yeah, on Tim Westwood.
Tim Westwood.
Tim Westwood.
Yeah, of
yeah.
course.
Right. Unbelievable.
Because we wanted the Josh Dick exclusive on our show.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Well, I already did it for Tim Westwood." And it's like, well, we can't top that.
I'm telling y'all, 2017, his album's coming out.
Is his executive album
produced by the Flapper Zombies?
Oh shit!
or by Free Bands?
Yeah.
Both.
Yo, thank you guys so much for coming all the way up to the Upper West Side.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, I'm gonna go to Whole Foods now.
Yeah.
Split.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Another episode in this long line of episodes that we're calling 12 Days of Podcast. Jeff, how you feeling?
Feeling good but hopeful.
Good. I thought you were gonna go with something like you're feeling like $1 million.
I'm not feeling like $1 million, but I am feeling hopeful.
For what?
World peace.
All right. Yeah. That's really what we're doing with this podcast here. A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If people want to listen to more hopeful episodes like this one, where can they go?
You can always go to iTunes, search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. You can also go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can go to Twitter, we are It's the Real. Instagram, It's the Real. Facebook, It's the Real.
YouTube, It's the Real.
You can YouTube, It's the Real. Whatever.
Why don't you go to YouTube and It's the Real, It's the Real.
Why don't you go to Pinterest, It's the Real. Why don't you go to...
I dare people to do that. Go.
I'm very good there.
Go right now. I dare you. Jeff, this podcast doesn't grow if we don't tell people about it. So who's a friend that you would like to shout out to say, hey, friend, tell the people about our podcast.
Hey, friend sounds very threatening.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. Enjoy this podcast.
Which friend do you want to tell, Jeff?
I want to tell Yan Yan, Ayana.
Yeah. Shout out to Yan Yan.
Yan Yan. Yan Yan.
It's always great to see Yan Yan. She's one of our favorite publicists. She works over there at Rock Nation.
She's also half or a third of the Brownies.
Yes, she is. She is also a work wife to another publicist friend of ours, Jason.
Yeah, so, you know, very healthy relationship, relationship goals, all that.
All that. Shout out to Yan Yan. Yan Yan.
Yan Yan.
Go tell people about this podcast.
Oh,
you know,
Yan Yan.
Yan Yan, tell some of your clients about this podcast.
Oh.
I would like to shout out our friend, Matt Miggs, who has been here loyally photographing all of these episodes while we've done 12 days in a row. And shout out to Matt for coming here and hanging out and seeing what the process is in making this.
Also, I guess it's known then in this podcast, everybody now knows that Post Malone is going to be coming over.
Post Malone. When is that episode going up?
Not tomorrow, but
soon.
It is coming up.
Surprise!
Surprise, Post Malone was here.
Post Malone and some other people.
Yeah. Tomorrow is what?
Tomorrow is Yes Jules.
Yeah.
Shout out to Yes Jules. That's a great episode. Tune in tomorrow. 12 Days of Podcast. A Waste of Time with It's the Real. It'stthereal.com. Go there. Get those tickets right now. Jeff.
Bow, bow.